afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. And we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in, and a very happy Wednesday to you. Well, my guest today writes this, and I love it. Robia Scott writes this. Listen up. It takes tenacity and drive to push against the status quo to achieve greatness. It takes courage to do whatever it takes to be free. I want you to hear that again. It takes courage to do whatever it takes to be free. You cannot go part way with God and receive total freedom. Make a decision in your heart that you're going all the way with God. No matter what it takes, you're going all the way, because total freedom demands total commitment. That's by Robia Scott, author of the book Counterfeit Comforts, Freedom from the Imposters That Keep You from True Peace, Purpose, and Passion. Reminds me of the passage we were talking about recently on the show. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let's run the race marked out before us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father. I love that passage. And there are things in our lives that just crowd out our lives. Some things are sinful, and some things in themselves aren't sinful, but they're taking up space and they're slowing us down. That's why I'm so excited to bring Robia Scott back on the show. Loved our first conversation. And I want you to know her generous publisher have given us three more copies of Counterfeit Comforts, Freedom the Imposters That Keep You from True Peace, Purpose, and Passion. I'll tell you about Robia in a moment, but I got to tell you, she used to be a backup dancer for Prince, and now she's this fiery woman of God, and she's got such an amazing story. So you are in for a treat. A couple of quick announcements before we get Robia on. One, I'll just welcome our friends listening in on any of our new markets, and I want you to know we've got more new announcements ahead, because God is growing Faith Radio by leaps and bounds. So welcome to our friends listening in on 1290 AM in Hartford and 94.1 FM in West Hartford, Connecticut. We so appreciate having you part of the family. 93.1 FM in Waterloo, 104.7 FM in Madison, 90.7 FM in the Twin Cities, and streaming online. So if you're brand new to the Faith Radio family in the last few weeks even, send me an email, susie@myfaithradio.com. Include your mailing address. Whenever I hear from people that are new to one of the markets, I draw a couple of names and send you some fun books from our Faith Radio shelf. Also, if you are traveling this season, take us with you. We've got a Faith Radio app you can download for free from the Apple App Store or Google Play, and you can live stream us from anywhere, catch the podcast after the fact. It's awesome. Hope you'll check it out. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Robia Scott is a multi-gifted international speaker, teacher, and author. After rocketing to success as a professional dancer and actress in Hollywood, she left a thriving career to found Robia Ministries, based in Southern California. She and her husband, James, are the senior leaders at Deeper Life, a growing regional church and training center in Redondo Beach. And dear Robia, welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be back.
Looking forward to our conversation, Robia. And we always start every single day talking scripture. And we have a purpose for doing this, just because our guests come and you're pondering the things of God and you bring a passage of scripture, and it just breathes fresh life for so many. They'll start to see the verse kind of living and active once again. So is there a verse, either life verse or just one you've been thinking about these days, that you can share with us?
You know, it's hard to pick just one,
yeah,
because the Word is so full of so many scriptures that just really help us get through the day-to-day things that we're going through. But I would say the one that's really stirring in my spirit right now and is really a core scripture for me overall is John 10:10. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came that we may have life, but not only life, but life more abundant. And that's really the essence of everything I'm passionate about in my life and in my ministry is really understanding how to live the promise, as you would say, to really have the promise that God gives us, not just life, you know, not just eternal life, which is an amazing gift, but really abundant life here. And one of the keys to understanding the abundant life is recognizing that we have an enemy who is resisting us from having that abundant life that God wants us to have.
Indeed, we have to contend for some of the things that God has for us. And for those, Robia, who missed our first conversation several months ago, I would love it if you give us a little backstory, starting with the movie Flashdance, if you would, a little bit of backstory on your story, and then how you came to Christ.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, when I was a youngin', back in the day when the movie Flashdance came out, which I'm sure many listeners can remember that beautiful movie. I was probably about 12 when the movie came out. And when I saw that, that was it. I knew that that's what I wanted to do with my life. I wanted to be a professional dancer. I went out the very next day and got a big perm. My parents let me get a perm. So I got a huge perm so I could look like Jennifer Beals. And I cut up all my sweatshirts and I bought some leg warmers that I wore every single day with every outfit. And, you know, that was it. I was going to be a dancer. So I started right then taking dance classes after school, and I already had a natural gifting in dance, but I started training very seriously as a young girl and wound up becoming professional at 16 and traveling the world and doing all different dance jobs. And when I was about 20, I was hired to work with Prince. And he was looking for a set of identical twins, and he couldn't find twins, real twins. But I auditioned, and there was another girl who looked like me, and he wound up naming us Diamond and Pearl from his Diamond and Pearl album. And we traveled the world and were on his album cover, and, you know, that was just an extraordinary experience. And after that, I retired from dance, and I went into acting and did various television shows. I'm most known for working on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I was on that show for 3 years. I played a very popular character named Jenny Callender. And it was then, while I was working on Buffy the Vampire Slayer, that I became a Christian. And I stayed working on the show for a little bit, but as I was learning more about God, and then I was going to work in an atmosphere, it was a very good show, it was a very well-written show, an intelligent show, but there was a lot of occult themes and topics on the show, and I was just feeling torn in my heart and in my spirit. And I got a nudge from God that it was that my entertainment life was behind me, and that He wanted me to really step into a new life of ministry, and that's what I did.
Bye. Thank you so much for sharing that. Just to give context, so people know where you're coming from, because you really are speaking out of so much life experience. And you wrote that though you appeared to be in control and living the life, so to speak, your deepest desire was to be at rest on the inside and feel at ease with yourself and your life. So if people looked at you, you're an actress, you're a professional dancer. I mean, who buys leg warmers and becomes a professional dancer in a short amount of time? It just doesn't work that way. And I mean, and it did for you somehow. And so you looked in control at the top of your game. But I love how you articulated this, because you identify something that we all, if we can be honest, really want, is to be at rest on the inside and at ease with ourselves and our lives. That's amazing to me that you kind of understood that. So where did that deep desire take you?
Well, you know, even at a young age, I was just going through things. I was struggling. And my professional life, I was doing very well. I really was very blessed. I worked hard, but I also had a lot of favor and a lot of doors open for me. And I started dancing and became very, you know, very successful. And I went right to the top of the career as a dancer. And then I started acting. And then I also became very successful in that area. And so you would look at me in my early 20s. And, you know, I was on television. I looked very good on the outside. I was making money. I was traveling the world. But I was dealing with things just inside in my heart. And, you know, I was a chain smoker. I had issues with food and body image, you know, being a woman, being a dancer, being on television. I just was constantly struggling with how I looked and being thin. And I just felt tormented. I didn't feel peace. And even though I was so successful in the world, you know, on the inside, I was just looking for something to really give me that sense of rest. And I always have believed in God my whole life. I was raised Catholic, and I always had a foundation in God. Because I was just seeking answers, I was seeking truth, I was seeking freedom, it drove me to really seek out God in a deeper way. And living in Southern California, often when you're searching for God, you come into what's very prevalent in this area, in this region, is the New Age movement. You know, a lot of spirituality, a lot of meditation and higher power and all of those things. So I got very involved in that for a little bit as I was seeking. But although I was doing that, I was still chain smoking, and I was still tormented, and I was still overeating, and I was still dealing with eating disorders. And something inside of me just knew inherently that if I could connect with God in a real way, that there would be freedom, that there would be that would reflect in the quality of life I was having, just like the scripture I shared at the beginning, life and life more abundant. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of pushed me into continuing my search. And through a whole series of events, I was a little resistant to Christ. I was a little bit resistant to be a born-again Christian and what I thought a born-again Christian was from watching television and how Christians are often portrayed. But, you know, God knew my heart. And I said, God, you know, I believe in you. Just give me some answers. Show me the way. If Christ really is the way, then give me some signs. And he did. He gave me some signs.
And so you were led to Christ by a fiery African-American woman. You went to her church and you started to recognize truth for what it was. And yet you still struggled for a while. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to you about what you were turning to and just even kind of gave it a name. So speak to that, just kind of light bulb moment for you.
So what happened is, as soon as I became a Christian, I was fervent about reading the word and going to church. And right away, I felt God's presence in my life. I felt him, and God started changing me, and there was a joy that came, and just things started happening in my life right away. However, the area that I was struggling with food, got worse. And I was perplexed. I was like, what's going on here? You know, I thought now that I'm a Christian, everything's just going to get better. So here I was crying out to God. I said, what is going on with this food? Why am I more in bondage to this than ever? And as I was reading scripture and it was starting to be planted in my spirit, the Holy Spirit reminded me of the scripture again that I use, that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And that now that I was on track for my life's purpose, and now that I was in the kingdom, and now that I was moving toward destiny, the enemy was going to make sure to find the vulnerable places in my life and turn up the heat. And for me, the food issue was a really vulnerable place. And now the enemy was going to really try to take me down, steal, kill, and destroy. So I cried out to God. I said, God, what is going on with my food issue? Why can I not get free from this? And then God started to speak to me. I didn't hear an audible voice, but as I was quiet and as I was praying and crying out, I started to get a sense on the inside, and I knew it was the Holy Spirit. And the thing that I heard him say was, food is not your issue. You're using food as a counterfeit. It's really just a counterfeit comfort.
Counterfeit comfort, and that's the title of her book, Counterfeit Comforts, Freedom from the Imposters That Keep You From True Peace, Purpose, and Passion. That's the thing. If you turn to these counterfeit things for comfort, they actually keep you from the very thing God has for you. Fantastic book. We've got 3 copies. If you want in on the drawing, email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Include your mailing address. You'll automatically be in the drawing. If you've got a question for Robia, include it as well. And we will be back in a minute. Boy, there's so much more of God to have. You know, he's made himself available to us. I think it was Tozer who said we can have as much of God as we want. And there just comes a time where we've got to quit white-knuckling things, open our hands, surrender, and say, Lord, I'm all in. I want everything that you have. I want you to have all that I am. And that's when we enter into the best of what God has for us. Really glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to pastor, author, speaker, Robia Scott. Title of her book, Counterfeit Comforts, Freedom from the Imposters That Keep You from True Peace, Purpose, and Passion. Email if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. And if you just tuned in, you have to go back and catch the beginning, the backstory. Robia's story is quite amazing. She was a backup dancer for Prince. She was an actor on TV, came to Christ. And as God started to kind of unravel things and set the plow a little deeper, you realized, Robia, that some of these things you were turning to were counterfeit comforts. How does a person know in their own lives, as Christians, how do they identify things still that they're turning to as counterfeit comforts?
Well, I think it's when the things that you're doing feel like they are controlling you. Mm. you know, all counterfeit comforts are not inherently bad. You know, I talked about in the beginning of the program how food was a counterfeit comfort for me. Food is a blessing. It's a gift from God. It's a beautiful thing. But when it starts to control us and when we have these behaviors and torment and obsession, then the blessing gets perverted and then it really is a counterfeit. And when I was crying out to God to help me with the eating disorders and just the obsession I had with food, you know, what I was going to eat, what I wasn't going to eat, how many calories, how much did I weigh? I just knew that wasn't how I wanted to be living with my mind consumed with that all day and night. And so when I cried out to God, I said, God, you know, what, why with the food? And he said, food is not your issue. It has nothing to do with food. That's why when you try to count calories or cut out food groups, that's not really the problem. Food is merely an unhealthy fruit to, it's really the fruit to a root that needs to be healed. And so the Lord was showing me that I was using food as a counterfeit, that I was using food as a comforter. And in the Bible, the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. And the Lord spoke to my spirit, and he said, if you will allow me, if you'll come into a deep place with me, I will teach you how to transfer your dependence on the counterfeit when you're upset, when you're disappointed, when you're hurt, when you're rejected, when you're lonely. You're running to a counterfeit for comfort instead of coming to me. And it could be so many things. It could be alcohol. It could be drugs. It could be shopping. It could be relationships. It could be things that are beneficial, like exercise, which is a wonderful thing. But when it becomes a compulsion, it's a trigger. It's a red flag that we're using food, alcohol, exercise, shopping, relationships. We're using those things to meet a need or to take an edge off or to have relief. And those things are not meant to do that. Only the Holy Spirit can be the true comforter.
Boy, and you made such an important point that we've talked about on the show plenty of times. You say that in our culture, we are obsessed with relieving a symptom. And boy, we, like I said, we've talked about this so much, because if we're just bent on relieving the symptom, we are time and time again short-circuiting our spiritual growth. So speak to that point, if you would.
Yes, I talk about that in the book, that it's just our natural instinct. First of all, as animals, it's a survival instinct to not be in pain. So, you know, as soon as we feel any kind of pain or discomfort, we naturally want to get away from that. And our society really plays on that, and the advertising industry plays on that, that, you know, if we just have the right pain reliever, or we just have the right shampoo, or we just have the right blouse, then none of, you know, we won't be feeling any of the things we're feeling. And so, you know, the essence of what I talk about in this book is, you know, there is a discomfort that's from the enemy. There's warfare, and there's things we struggle with the enemy. And we need to learn how to come against that and fight against that. But as we're growing and healing and transforming, there's also a discomfort that is a God discomfort. And it's about letting God into those areas that we're stuffing down, you know, letting him, you know, a lot of our counterfeit comforts come from wounds, deep wounds, and we don't want to feel that pain, so we want to drink it down, or we want to eat it down, or, you know, we want to do all these things to mask what we're feeling. But as we allow ourselves to feel that and let God into those places, we can not just medicate and have temporary relief, but we can actually get deep, deep healing and be transformed. And that's what I want. I don't want temporary relief, because it only goes so far. Indeed. And then you need more and more things to get more relief, and then you're in bondage, and then you're not relieved at all. Then you're in addiction and torment.
Yeah. You know, I've brought this quote up a number of times on the show by Steve Arterburn when he came on a few weeks ago. He said, one of the great epidemics of the church is unresolved grief. He said, we are living with a series of unresolved losses that we've not sorted through. So I feel like your distinction between not all discomfort is bad, and if we look at it all as bad, either it's to be stuffed or to be battled against the enemy, we're going to miss a huge opportunity for healing. Sometimes this discomfort is just plain information, and if we follow it, God, if we follow the Lord in it, he will take us to the root. We have to go to those deep places that are so not comfortable to go to get really free, don't we?
Yes, it's just the thing is we're not taught really how to do that. You know, we're not taught at home very often how to deal with our emotions. And then when we go to school, that's not an area that's often addressed. And then even at church, often that's not addressed. And at church, we feel that we're just supposed to be very happy people and full of joy. And we are supposed to be that. But sometimes we kind of put on this thing because we haven't dealt with those deeper wounds. And a quote that I say in the book is, we have to feel and deal in order to heal.
Yeah. Now
the things that we're not dealing with, the feelings we're not dealing with, they're dealing with us, and they will find their way to the surface in all different kinds of addictive, unhealthy behaviors if we don't deal with them.
And to add to that, you further write, the amount of energy it takes to stifle emotions far surpasses the effort it would take to deal with them and find healing. Say more.
Yes, the pain of not changing is greater than the pain it takes to change. Transformation, it is a little bit of work. You know, going deep, it is a little bit of work. But it's so painful. It takes so much energy to try to act okay and, you know, to just kind of muscle it instead of just surrendering and being willing to look at what's going on with us and allow God in. He is the healer. You know, we know it. It's all throughout the Bible. God loves to heal. He's gentle. He wants to transform us. But the process of how he transforms us is allowing him into those places.
So, Rubia, we've got about 2 minutes to our hard break at the bottom of the hour, so we can continue this on to the other side if we need to. But every month we have this functional medicine doctor on the show, Health and Healing with Dr. Troy, we call it. And last time he was on, he was talking about habits and how they affect us spiritually, emotionally, and physiologically. Bad habits. And so truly, he's like, take one, you know, pray about it, ask God which one, and then go after it, because it's taking time, space, and energy in your cells and in your soul. And I thought it was so good. And I think if we take that and think about it, you know, maybe it's interrupting, maybe it's eating too much before you go to bed. And this isn't for legalism's sake, but for freedom's sake. I'd love for you just to give me your thoughts on that. The idea of not, you don't have to do it all at once, but what one thing, God, do you want me to look at now? And knowing that you're not doing it alone, you're doing it with the grace of God right with you.
I love that. And I think the key when it comes to change is that willpower can only take us so far. Trying to change ourselves can only take us so far. And so really the crux of Counterfeit Comforts, what I'm doing in this book, is really helping people to get into a place where they connect with God. And it's a process. Healing is a process. But when we can learn how to get into that place where he speaks to us, where we feel his presence, when we experience him, that's how we can truly change.
Boy, and I want
you to go to the, we have to go to the root.
Indeed. So think about that, friend, today as you're listening. Do you want to be exactly where you are right now, a year from now? In fact, you won't be, because if we're not gaining ground, we're losing ground. So think about what kind of thing keeps surfacing for you. What might God be unearthing? Maybe he's setting the plow a little bit deeper for you. And why is he doing that? Because he wants you free. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Rubia Scott. She's a pastor. She's an author, speaker. Title of her book, Counterfeit Comforts, Freedom from the Imposters that Keep You from True Peace, Purpose, and Passion. 3 copies. Email me if you want in on the drawing. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your mailing address. If you've got a question or comment, include that as well. I see a few emails coming in. More great conversation with Rubia Scott in a minute. Love that song by Lincoln Brewster. Really glad you tuned in today, because rescue has come. Jesus has come. He blew the doors off of the devil's claim on us. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. He said he came to destroy the works of the devil. And you know, there's God's part and there's our part, and he wants us free. But it requires some work on our part, where we're willing to be teachable and trainable, where we can surrender certain things that are holding us back. Well, my guest today is Rubia Scott. Title of her book, Counterfeit Comforts, Freedom from the Imposters that Keep You from True Peace, purpose and passion. Email if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. And please remember your mailing address. So, Rabia, you say that we need to ask ourselves the why behind the what. And one of the reasons is that because some of the most neutral behaviors can be abused and used for a tool for evading. I want to say it one more time so the friend listening today doesn't miss it. Rabia says that the most neutral behaviors can be abused and used as a tool for evading. Say more if you would.
Yes, the why behind the what. You know, I think when we're trying to change ourselves or trying to grow, we're always dealing with the what. We're trying to change our eating, or we're trying to break addictions, or we're trying to do, you know, we're dealing with the what. But what the Lord was showing me is it's really the why behind the what. It's why, you know, for me to really change my addiction with food and the obsession I was dealing with, I couldn't really change it by changing the what. I wouldn't get lasting change and healing by trying to change my eating habits or to make different choices. It was really recognizing why. What's driving me to overeat? What's driving me to eat emotionally and to stuff myself or to binge and purge? What's the why? And it was going into those areas and how the Lord started to show me really why I was eating, that any time I felt disappointed or any time I felt hurt or rejected, I didn't know how to process those feelings. I didn't know what to do with them. It was so uncomfortable. There was so much pressure that I just wanted to alleviate that any way I could. And for me, I would alleviate it with eating. And then that became a vicious cycle.
As you say in the book, we've all become master escape artists when it comes to dealing with our hurt and our pain. And the enemy is a master schemer, because you think about whatever stirred you up, triggered you, pushed your button, so to speak, to make you feel rejected or left out. You think about, there's times where there are legitimate things that happen that make us feel that way. But there's other times it's like the enemy creates a scenario and we somehow connect the dots, make some kind of wrong conclusion, while other people have no idea or have no intention for that message to come to us that way. But that really is at play as well, isn't it? And we take it because it triggers us and we go to our comfort and we don't even realize there's so much is about a lie. The enemy getting away with a lie with us.
That is so right on and so profound. I agree completely that there's patterns in our life. The enemy knows how to bait our hook. Because of the things I've gone through, the wounds in my heart, he knows how to set the stage in a way to push on those bruises and to affect my wounds. And my bait is different than your bait. It's different than someone else's bait. So, you know, the enemy knows how to trigger us, for sure. And we need to have the same kind of understanding about ourselves as much as the spiritual realm, as much as our enemy knows how to set us up. I need to know myself. And as I, you know, prayed and pressed in deeper, the Lord would show me when something happened in my life, like if I felt rejected in a dating situation, that would make me want to act out and go to a counterfeit. When I spent that time in God's presence and I asked him, Lord, what's behind this? What's deeper? See, this is when the Holy Spirit would start to take me on a journey, a deep journey within. Because often I found that I would react to something that happened during the day or in my life, and my reaction would be far greater than the situation warranted. It's like the punishment doesn't fit the crime. It's like, how could I be so devastated by, you know, a dating situation with a guy I barely know? It obviously has nothing to do with this guy. But what the Holy Spirit would show me is the wound of rejection is so deep. And he would take me into these just very intimate places where he would show me things from my past, things from my parents, and things that happened to really create this wound. But the good thing is God doesn't leave me there. Then he would also start to heal me in that place and start to speak scripture to me about how he was always there for me. He would never leave me or forsake me. And I would have tangible experiences of feeling God's love and feeling his presence and getting healed in those places. So instead of trying to change all the outside circumstances, you know, dating is such a great example. We always feel like, why do I keep attracting the same person? You know, if I could just find the right guy, or if I could just find the right girl. But what God will show us is usually there's a pattern, because there's something in us that's not wired correctly. And if we'll allow God to rewire us, then our outer experience will reflect our inner reality.
And our inner reality will initiate instinctive responses that reflect the truth of God that's set us free inside. So we're not externally managing how we should and ought to act, because it comes from a place of truth. And I want to just know, so God met you in these intimate places and started to unearth that thing and uproot it. Talk about just what that process was like for you, because at one point, as you're walking through it, you said that you felt like God was telling you that you'd created a fantasy scenario of how you wanted him to handle things for you. And maybe we're past that part of your story, but I think we all do this. And I think it's that me now, God. I just want what I want. And if I get it, I'd be okay. But he wants the process for us. So say more if you would.
You know, our God is a supernatural God, and sometimes you can pray, and God will just come in and do something, and it's like, boom, bam, a miracle, and that's tremendous. But he was showing me that that's one of the ways he works, but that's not the only way that he works, and how often I wanted him, when I was dealing with any area of my life, relationships, eating, I just wanted to pray, and then I just wanted everything to be different. I wanted to have no more temptation, no more desire. I just wanted him to magically do it. And the Lord was showing me that that's not always how he works. And he said, I want you to come to me in prayer so that you can start to become sensitive to that still small voice, which is the Holy Spirit. And then that still small voice will direct you, lead you, and guide you in the choice point. And I will teach you how to change your choice point. So for me, as I started to feel feelings come up, and I just wanted to run to food and run to alcohol and run to shopping and just, you know, run, the Lord, it's so funny. He said, I want you to remember something that I showed you when you were a little child in elementary school, and you were sitting and hearing the fire drill in school. And he said, do you remember when they showed that fire drill video, what you're supposed to do when you're on fire? And I said, yes, Lord. He said, you don't run. You're supposed to stop, drop, and roll. And these are the funny things that God tells us. You know, he said, when you're going through all those emotions, it's as if you're on fire. You're wanting to run and extinguish the flame and, you know, go do all these things. But I want you to start to practice stopping in your tracks before you run to a counterfeit. I want you to drop, you know, drop into a prayerful position on a chair, on a couch, on your bed, and then roll your cares over to me. I want you to start just taking a moment in the choice point before you act out. Just start to come to me and let me help you identify what you're even feeling, what's even going on with you. And as you start to build that attachment with me and that dependence on me, a transference will take place where you no longer run to all these external things to meet those needs, but you'll start to build a new habit of running to me. But it's not going to happen overnight. You're not going to just transform necessarily in an instant, but you're going to develop a new habit. You're going to get to know me really as the true comforter.
And just hear what Robia said about the stop, drop, and roll, just how practical that is at that moment before you run to the counterfeit. Now, the opposite of that is what she writes here, and I want to read it just so you can see these juxtapose, this strategy to find some freedom, to walk in God's presence, to get a word of truth, to keep you from a destructive pattern, or this. She writes, when we are hurting, we are irrational, and when we are in pain, we make rash and emotional choices. We will do anything for some peace and satisfaction, and rarely do we consider the long-term consequences. It is only after we fill ourselves with the guilt of what we've done, it's only after we fill ourselves that the guilt of what we've done floods in. Then shame and sadness follow, so we turn again to the counterfeit to alleviate the pain, which brings more guilt and shame, and the cycle perpetuates. And that is what the enemy wants. And that's why Jesus said, I came to destroy the works of the devil, because he works in such a pattern. So as you started to do the stop, drop, and roll, Robia, you started to know healing and wholeness. What happened in your life? I mean, I would just love to know, Eva. I bet you were just in awe that internal transformation was taking place.
Yes, I have to say that it's a process. We're always continually getting healing. But the things that I dealt with 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I just do not deal with at all. You know, the chain smoking, the eating issues, constantly being in the mind about food and all of that, that's completely gone. It took some time, but God is faithful. And as he taught me how to really lean on him and depend on him, that's where I saw the changes. And that's what I really want to help people, teach them, like, how to get into that place with the Lord. Because I believe a lot of healing comes from hearing. Healing comes from hearing God, experiencing his presence. And all the years I've been in ministry now, I think the number one thing that I hear from people, Christians, is that they want to experience God. You know, people go to church, they read the Bible, but often they don't have that personal, firsthand experience with Him. And it's these things that He showed me, these little tools, some of them are even kind of funny, like stop, drop, and roll, but they're practical, applicable ways to teach and train ourselves how to get into His presence, to open ourselves to really encounter the living God, not just read about Him or hear about Him, but to hear Him personally for our lives and experience His presence.
Mm, so good. So here's the practical advice that she gives, you know, the stop, drop, and roll before you make the choice. But maybe you've already made the choice. Maybe you're today listening going, already, I spent too much, ate too much, drank too much, whatever, too much. And the enemy keeps telling you, you're too much. And this is what Robia writes. We've not failed, and we are not bad Christians for going to counterfeits. We are not weak believers with little faith. We are hurting people trying to cope with life on this planet. Our loving Father in heaven understands, and He has a lot of grace for us. Got a few minutes here before this last break here, Robia. Speak to that person, if you would, who's listening today, who's right there, sitting in the muck of their choices, just full of self-loathing, which sometimes, oftentimes, propels us away from God rather than draws us to Him. What does the Father want that person to know?
Well, one of the keys in hearing God and knowing how He sounds and who He is also really understanding that we have an enemy, John 10:10. We have an enemy who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and He also has a way of speaking, and He also has a sound. And this is something I cover in the book over a few chapters about learning how to discern the voice of the enemy, which is just as important as discerning the voice of the Father. Because often we think that when we feel guilty or condemned, that's God correcting us. But that is not how God speaks. God is never in condemnation. The Bible says very clearly in Galatians that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. So when we're feeling condemned, that's not from God. When we're feeling hopeless and like a failure, that's not from God. No matter how many times we fail, no matter how many times we fall, God is always saying, yes, you can. I believe in you. It's okay. Get up again. Keep going. You know, the Bible tells us that the righteous man falls seven times. And I even wrote this in the book. I wish I only fell seven times. I fell seven times, seven times, seven times, seven. I fell so many times. I fell short so many times. But God isn't looking at that. He's looking at our heart, and He loves us, and He knows often why we sin or even make mistakes or bad choices is not because we're in willful disobedience. Look, some people are being willfully disobedient, and that's a whole different topic. But for a lot of us, we're not trying to be disobedient or trying to be sinners. We are just acting and reacting and responding from wounds. And God has so much grace. He knows the abuse we've been through. He knows the trauma we've been through. So He's not judging us for running to these things. He just lovingly wants to set us free. He wants to see us free from all these areas we're in bondage to. And if it takes us a week, a month, a year, 10 years, God's not judging us. He just wants us to get free. And anyone listening right now who's in the middle of the pit and just feels like there's no way out, there is a way out. No matter, none of us are too far gone for God to help us. It's one step at a time, one choice at a time, and a lot of it comes from understanding and knowledge. The Bible says, Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So it's understanding who God is and the biblical tools that He's given us in the Word to get out of the pit and get into the abundant life. And it's available to everyone, to everyone. It's not too late. That's what I want people to know. It's not too late. No matter where you are, God can turn it around.
Hmm. I love this girl. This is Robia Scott, title of her book, Counterfeit Comforts, Freedom from the Imposters That Keep You from True Peace, Purpose, and Passion. I believe that was a word for you today. It's not too late. When we come back, we're going to talk about the tenacity to dream again, to go all the way with God so that you can experience the best of what He has for you. We will be back in a minute. Now, that song by Christy Knuckles, Find Me at the Feet of Jesus. I wanted to lead with that with this last segment because I'm thinking of you today. If you are trapped, you just feel stuck in your stuff and you just hate yourself for it. First of all, we've been learning this last year as we visited and had Dr. Troy on the show that self-loathing does more damage to your cells and your soul than any disease ever would. And Jesus loves you. He is for you. And I say this often, he is not breathing a heavy sigh, rolling his eyes at you. He loves you. And this is why we wanted to have Robia Scott come back on the show to talk about true freedom. And if you just tuned in, I'm telling you what, you got to go back, catch the whole podcast after the live show today, because she really makes a biblical case for the freedom that God has for us. And in the book, you say, it takes tenacity and drive to push against the status quo to achieve greatness. It takes courage to do whatever it takes to be free. You cannot go partway with God and receive total freedom. Make a decision in your heart that you're going all the way with God. No matter what it takes, you're going all the way, because total freedom demands total commitment. And Robia, in the beginning of the book, if I remember right, we talked about this last time you were on the show, you were a little bit afraid about becoming a Christian, for one, because of the stereotypes, but two, I think you were afraid you had to go to Africa and eat bugs or something like that.
Yes, that's about right.
Thank you very much. I had the same kind of fear. Yeah, but I want you to look at your life now. I mean, where God took you and what you're doing now in your sweet spot as a co-pastor with your husband, writing and speaking, and how your calling fits you. I want you to speak to that whole idea of God's will for us is truly our best case scenario, but it does require an all-in surrender.
Yeah, so I had that somewhat religious or worldly belief that God wanted to take all the fun things from me, and that's what a life in God would look like. It would just be me not really doing any of my heart desires. You know, even when I left acting and dancing, people were like, oh, you left all that for God and he made you do that. But no, he didn't make me do that at all. My heart was no longer in that. He really just removed my desire to even do that. So when I went into ministry, it wasn't this huge sacrifice. It was the following of the leading of my own heart and what God put in my heart. And so, you know, yes, there are times that we do sacrifice things in our life, but you know, when we really give our lives to God, the life is just so much greater, everything he has for us. And that's when we know the nature of God. God is not a withholder. God is about abundance. So he doesn't want to take from us. He wants to give to us. And I share this story, I think, in my book about I was so hesitant to come to Christ. You know, I thought that he just wanted to take my personality and take all these fun things from me. And he led me to the story of Michelangelo, and I was reading an article about Michelangelo, and this really changed my whole understanding of who God was. You know, it said in this article that I read that when Michelangelo would sculpt, he would have a huge piece of marble in front of him, and he wouldn't try to make something or create something. He would actually already see the finished masterpiece inside the marble. And all he would do is chip away at the excess that was keeping it from what it already was. And when I read that, the Holy Spirit just resonated inside of me. And God said to me inside, he said, that's who I am. I don't want to take anything from you. But if you'll come to me and really go deep in me, all I'm going to do is chip away at all the excess, the bondage, the fears, the wounds, the pain, the torment, everything that's keeping you from being the masterpiece that I created you to be. The full beauty, everything that I have for you. And he has been faithful. I'm telling you, he has been faithful. Where I am right now is so different than where I was. And I thank God that in 10 more years, I'll look back on today and say, wow, I'm so much different. I'm more transformed. I'm greater levels of healing, greater levels of freedom. It just gets better and better and better.
Boy, what a beautiful story and beautiful example, Robia. And you think about now as you look back, you have a history with God. So when you catch yourself, when you walk into times of storm or trial or fire, you know God now. You know he's good. And you know that there's a measure that he'll allow and there's a limit to even what he'll allow. I'd love for you just to speak. We've just probably got about 3.5 minutes left. And how you navigate that now. When you catch yourself wanting to default to a counterfeit comfort, when you catch yourself wanting to self-protect, but then you remember who this God and who is he's been to you. How do you process that?
Well, one aspect is really having a clear understanding of the enemy and how the enemy works. I know that when I'm in doubt, when I'm in fear, when I'm tormented, when I'm in unbelief, I'm in enemy stuff. You know, the enemy's hitting me. There's warfare coming in. If I'm not in faith and in hope, then I'm not really right smack in the middle of God. So I just do my best to get into God's presence. You know, I think it's good that we have people around us. I think who we spend time with is so important, you know, to have a strong spiritual family and to be planted in a church. I really love that the Bible says those who are planted in the house of God flourish. So I think that, you know, having that strong support system is so important. We need each other. I'm so on to tribe right now. I think that's one of my main themes. We need to find our tribe, because no matter how spiritual we are or what kind of ministers we are, we all have warfare and we all have blind spots. We all have places where the enemy comes in and tries to undermine us. But we have other people who are standing with us, supporting us, praying for us and with us, that can be strong when we're not feeling strong. That really, really helps. That really helps. And then it gives us the oomph and the strength to run to God. And you know what? We're not going to do it perfectly every time. I still go to counterfeits. You know, I'm not perfect. I'm a human being. And sometimes life happens and you just need a big old slice of pizza. That, you know, you just do. You just do. And that's okay. But there's a difference between, you know, sometimes comforting ourselves with something and being completely overtaken and consumed and in bondage. So that's really the difference.
Right.
You know, there's nothing wrong with certain things occasionally. But when we have that foundation that God really is our love, that he's our comforter, that we know that he's faithful, regardless of what we're going through, he's faithful, then that's a pretty good place to be.
Oh, fantastic. We've got about a minute and a half before we pray. Robia, this is a big, audacious question for you, but you've got the mic here. I know you don't shy away from anything. I love you. You're like a little, your little pit bull here.
Girl?
Yeah. Here it comes. So I want you to give, let's say you're speaking to the whole American church right now. Give us a charge. What would you say? What's on your heart for the church to know and to be thinking about right now?
Ooh, wow, that's deep. Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, community, I think, is big. Like I just said, I think tribe, community. I'm really feeling commitment, that you find a spiritual house and you commit. You learn how to really get in that family, spiritual family unit, and really yield and submit to spiritual leaders that you can trust. I think, and this is just going in a whole different direction, but I'm really feeling a sense of prayer and fasting. This is a season for us to, and that's a whole nother teaching, but I think prayer and fasting is on the forefront right now, to be a people that really pray, that seek God's face, like Second Chronicles, you know, humbling ourselves through prayer. I think those are some of the spiritual disciplines that are really going to pave the way for all of us as believers in our own individual life to see breakthrough, and as a body and as a people to change the church, to impact the nation.
Wow, very, very good, man. The scripture talks about we walk in unity. He commands a blessing. And when we humble ourselves before him and fast and pray, he moves. So those are great words. And if that resonates with you, I just challenge you to keep going till you find your tribe and humble yourself and fast and pray. We all need to be doing that. And what would happen in our nation and in a church especially. So, Robia, I'm wondering if you would pray in that regard. Pray for our nation. Pray for the church. Would love to have you do that if you would.
I will. Father God, I thank you, Lord, that this is an exciting time to be in you and that you've given us authority. You've given us authority to really shift things on the earth. So I thank you, Father, that we don't take that lightly, that we are a people that hunger and thirst for more of your presence, for more of your wisdom, for more of your understanding. And I thank you, Father, that your word says that if we seek, that you will reveal yourself. So I just pray, Father God, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. And I pray for all of us listening, Father God, that that this is a season we're about to step into a new level of revelation, a new level of freedom, a new level of love, a new level of unity, a new level of authority, and a new level of power. I pray for every person out there that's listening right now that they would connect with you more deeply, and that you would also lead and guide them, that you'd be a lamp unto their feet, a light unto their path, for the relationships, the ordained relationships that you have for them, but first and foremost, the relationship with you. And we just praise you and thank you, Father, that you're doing it, that you're faithful, that you'll never leave us or forsake us, and that we are getting there. We are getting where you want us to go. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Boy, I just love you, dear Robia. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Susie, so much.
Always
a great conversation with you.
Always. Title of her book, again, is Counterfeit Comforts, Freedom from the Imposters That Keep You from True Peace, Purpose, and Passion. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program on our website at myfaithradio.com. Remember this, too. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and He is the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day.